Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live today from SDPB's Black Hills studio. We're in the South Dakota Community Foundation. We have a wonderful studio audience. Thank you so much for coming out. And we are celebrating children's literature during today's show because it is the Young Readers Festival, which is part of the South Dakota Festival of Books. It's in Rapid City today. These authors are going around to Rapid City schools, and then tomorrow everything's happening in Deadwood. Saturday, everything's happening in Deadwood. Sunday, it's quite a celebration, really my favorite time of the year. So with me now, we have Rebecca Swift and Sean Covell, authors of Porter the Hoarder, which if you live in South Dakota, you have probably already heard about. You have definitely heard that Sean is the producer of Napoleon Dynamite, and that gets everybody's attention. And Porter is maybe not your typical... I mentioned good books for bad children earlier. She might fit in that category. She's not necessarily the most well-behaved classic.
That's true.
And Green Gables, we are not.
That's true. And now for something completely different. Yes.
I want to talk so much because this is not just a series of books, but it is a project. It is a reading initiative as mm-hmm. well.
Yes.
But let's start with Porter herself.
Great.
Sean, take us off.
So Rebecca created Porter the Hoarder. And actually, where did Porter come from? You want to talk about that?
Sure. Yes, my daughter Logan, who's 15 now, when she was a little girl, we ran a tight ship, and her room was mostly clean. But I opened a drawer, and inside we found candy and wrappers. And, you know, it was from Halloween and Christmas and Valentine's Day, and this was the following March. And I thought, oh no, I have a little hoarder. And I immediately drew a picture of a little girl with pigtails, and she had a pretty... a sweet personality back then, and I had met Sean through a project, and he gave her a voice.
When I saw the design, which you can see is very, very simple. It's a lot like Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus, and
right.
it's simplicity. I saw what she did with that, and then I saw how Rebecca could change facial features very simply and create so much emotion out of this character that it all kind of snapped into place. Kind of an obnoxious little girl, sort of a female Eric Cartman, who in book one refuses to clean her room. And the room is just piled with stuff, and so the book opens with her mom coming in and saying, hey, if you clean your room, you get a gold coin worth three truckloads of candy. And then,
Oh, hyperbole.
I don't know, it was a pretty big drawer Rebecca opened. And then it becomes a look and find game. And the structure of it is a big, meaning a parent, grandparent, older sibling, reads with a little, meaning kindergarten, first, second, third grader, to find all the crazy stuff in her room, her collection of chewed up bubble gum, her lightning fried lizards, and slowly work down through the process of cleaning up her room. And once we finished it and created this thing that was fun and interactive in a game, that's when I learned about the initiatives of the United Way of the Black Hills and Black Hills Reads and the South Dakota Statewide Family Engagement Center, that they were focusing on early childhood reading initiatives. Because as you know, and I didn't know, 32% of elementary school kids in the United States are reading at grade level proficiency. 32%, that's a crazy number. And I didn't know that you can correlate within two jumps on a checkerboard third grade reading ability with prison capacity planning. That's crazy. And so I learned that apart from developing early childhood reading skills, the other thing they were really working to do is to create family engagement. And I realized Porter did that, so we teamed up with United Way of the Black Hills, Black Hills Reads, South Dakota Statewide Family Engagement Center, and created this reading program, which is rolling out now.
All right. Lots of things to unpack there. Let's go back to the pigeon, right? Because the great Mo Willems in his illustrations always says he wants to illustrate something that you can draw. I never draw anything that the kids can't draw.
Right.
And Porter is like that in the sense that she starts with some simple shapes. So not only is it a book for reading, but it's really an art book inviting kids into that art space as well. Because and then when you look at the front pages, all these different costumes and different ways, you know, almost like a paper doll, but yet, you know, these hilarious and quirky manifestations of Porter's personalities, mm-hmm. I can make my own.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit, Rebecca, about really telling kids through the way that you create art that they can create art too.
It's been really exciting because as we read to the children, then we kind of break away and I'll have a whiteboard and a marker and I'll be able to show them step by step how to draw Porter because, you know, we encourage them that they can write and they can draw so they could do what we're doing too. And they say, well, I can't draw. And it is really easy when you break it down step by step. And one thing that we really get to talk about a lot is she has a lot of emotions. Yeah. And there are three things on the face that you can change to create any emotion.
We should ask the audience, what do you think?
What do you think?
What can you change as an illustrator to create emotion? I mean, those eyebrows.
All right. You have the mouth, and then you have two eyebrows.
Yeah.
And so whether the eyebrows are slanted up or down, whether she's smiling or frowning or her mouth is round, you can create hundreds of expressions and teach kids about these emotions and reactions.
One of my favorite children's stories of all time, I don't know if you remember it or have come across it, it's Mrs. Pigglewiggle. So Mrs. Pigglewiggle was like all about natural consequences before that was a thing. And so I grew up with her, and like there was this story, and now I can't remember the boy's name, but he didn't clean his room. And so it was, well, then don't clean, his parents were at their wits' ends, and, you know, he goes, and pretty soon they're, like, feeding him a sandwich on a rake from outside the window. And then that Mrs. Pigglewiggle's got her kind of, you know, her magic. Mm-hmm. A messy room is, and again, it's that hyperbole, it is so messy. It's not just that you didn't pick up your laundry, it's that you, and I was one of those kids who was completely overwhelmed by having to clean my room, like, into tears.
Me too.
And my mother would come in, and she'd say, you have 20 minutes, and everything that's not picked up, I'm going to take away when you're done. So for 20 minutes, I'd cry. I'd like, do I love this doll or do I love this teddy bear? Well, I could have been done by the time I was obsessing. And so there's something happening here with what is garbage, mm-hmm. what has value to mm-hmm. you, mm-hmm. and it's okay to keep the things that you that have value.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And one thing that we ran into as we were developing Porter was we worked with a child psychologist to focus on positive and negative messaging.
Yeah.
Because clean your room is inherently accusational, right. and you're dirty, and also it's a command. Whereas Porter's question is always, should she do this, not can she? And it creates a third party to have a dialogue about what you want to keep and what you should clean up and yada, yada. I mean, Porter the Hoarder is a series of 64 books, and the first four are now created, published, and available. So the next book, she's on a nature hike, and can she keep the fossilized deer dookie and the flatulent flying fish? Or then she's, you know, she's making a pizza, and the last time she did it, it was 200 feet tall and had tires and bullfrogs on it.
Right.
So you create a whole world of weird stuff and begin a lot of different conversations.
Silly, it's weird, it's wonderful. And you mentioned, Sean, this notion of parents kind of... One of the things that I always found when I was really, you know, trying to get, you know, people to love children's books is that parents don't, I mean, I love it. I could read anything. You can give me a wordless picture book and I can sit down and spend, you know, 30 minutes with my kid and it's the best thing. Mm-hmm. Other parents are like, oh my gosh, there are no words in this book. What do I do? They're freaked out by it.
Yeah.
This tells you exactly how to read the book. this is you can't get it wrong because it's question, it's response.
It is. And everything that we set out to do was about interaction. We wanted a book that was a game and a game that happened to be a book. And when we started to develop the reading program, we learned about the four issues that get in the way of reading at home that are consistent regardless of socioeconomic status. And the biggest one's time,
right.
You know? And the question that parents have is how long is it gonna take to read this book? And with Porter, it reads in under 10 minutes, usually about 7, and they can see that. So it fits in the crack. Second is a book that kids are excited to read, and that's a lot about marketing from the outside world. We flip that. We get them excited in the classroom when we do our Porter launch projects. And then parents knowing how to read to a child, if they weren't read to as a kid often, they don't really know how to pass that skill on. So the way we do our classroom rollouts, we teach the kids how to teach their parents. We assign parent homework, and structure of the book shows parents how to read together, but in this way, we fill the kids up with the knowledge and send them home, and finally cost. Books are expensive, and I didn't realize that schools buy books for about 20% off retail, usually. So we manufacture our own, and we're able to work with our partners to be able to give these books, the Ransack Room books, to first graders across South Dakota for free. So
tell me about some of those launches, those school visits, what do you bring into the classroom?
Chaos. Chaos. We leave with
on
chaos.
Purpose.
Yes. We bring in curiosity, we leave chaos. And it's fun. We come in and they introduce us saying there's an illustrator and an author who are here today. We show the physical copy of the book. Then we project the pages up on a smart board or large screen. Students get up to help find all the stuff while I read Porter's reaction, her voices, and Rebecca reads all the narration. And then at the end, I mean, one thing that we say is, you know, you get them in a group and they're sitting in front of the board and we say, okay, you know, it's important to mind your manners and raise your hand. And this has been conditioned into this group of first graders. And so they kind of nod. And I say, we're not doing that today. It's a different deal. So when you see something, freak out and scream about where it is. Once we've got them super excited and we've gone through the book, we ask, you know, would you like your own Porter book? And fortunately, so far, they've said yes. That's good.
I was like, I'm good.
We've had enough. And then we say, well, you know, thanks to your school and thanks to your teachers, you get a book and you get a book and everybody gets their own books and they're going crazy. And then we throw the wet blanket and I said, but listen, there's homework. And they just, oh. We say, it's not for you, it's for your parents. And we have the parent homework document. You have to teach your parents. And they're just going nuts. And then Rebecca shows them piece by piece how to draw a porter and start telling their own stories.
And tell us about the parent homework.
Parent homework. There's a document that goes out.
Here it is.
This goes out with the books. Our visual aid for the radio. We'll be giving away 10,000 copies of the book this year, so hopefully lots of parents are seeing this document. But it's a great, big, huge 8.5 by 17 document that cannot be avoided. And it's called the Parents Porter Explanation Thing. It's like a comic book strip. It says, this is what Porter is, and this is how you read together, and you read together. And in the lower right corner is the cell phone, the distraction-free zone where you put your cell phone.
Put your cell phone down.
Put your cell phone down. Put it here. And, you know, that's what one of the things we love about Porter. It's easy to give a child a book and say, go read this. And oftentimes in schools, that's what happens. They have a journal of time that they've read. But that can just as easily be an iPad. And it's a project on their own. This requires a big to sit down with a little, you know? So put the distraction away, put the technology away, and let's get to this. It just so happens to be reading.
Do you hear from teachers or parents or kids after you've gone?
Oh, absolutely. We're constantly getting messages and comments and posts about people and how excited their kids are, how their kid was reading it to their dog, their child was reading it to their siblings. The book is almost destroyed because their child won't put it down.
That's a really great point. We've heard a consistent bit of feedback. Child comes home excited saying, we're going to read this book. And that's what we thought would happen. They read it start to finish. And then the child says, let's read it again. Yeah. And we kind of hoped that would happen. Then the parent takes the book away because they're we have to eat food now. And then they have dinner. And that was great. But what we didn't expect was what happens next. And that's the child coming back and saying, let me read to you. And they don't get the words all right, but it's amazing what does stick.
I think my favorite part, certainly, is the personality that Sean has given this little girl. It's so funny. And when I think of my favorite books when I was a little girl, Mouse Tales. I don't know who wrote it, but I know that this little mouse's suspenders broke, his pants fell down, and they used bubblegum to keep his pants up. Yeah. And I just laughed, and I remember the Stinky Cheese Man. And those are the books that stand out. And kids just, they laugh, and they quote these lines, and they know that it's okay to have these big
David
emotions.
Chan's no David. Mm-hmm. Everything David does is like, no David. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's, you know, unconditional love comes back in.
Absolutely.
Kids can relate to, in the sense, you know, she is the id, you know, of all of us.
She is raw.
My computer didn't work this morning, and I had a Porter moment where I was like, I recognize that I'm being, a first grader, but I just need this moment to say
this.
She
works.
It's true.
And she's not a misfit. The kids really understand these emotions, and then they can, you know, chill out and bring it back in, like we all have to do.
Porter's, absolutely, Porter's reactions are very binary. She's either super happy or she's really mad. And my sister teaches second grade in Sturgis. She's now teaching kindergarten this year. I didn't realize that something tricky that teachers are dealing with is how to teach empathy.
Yeah.
How do you instruct a kid to jump into somebody else's shoes? With Porter, it's simple to see. You can see why she's mad. You can see why she's happy. And when Rebecca goes through to show the process of illustration, now you can start moving that mouth around. Why is she confused? Why is she frustrated? Mm. That's pretty cool.
You mentioned the book falling apart or being destroyed from repeat readings. It reminds me of Kevin Henkes, who wrote a book called Kitten's First Full Moon, which won a Caldecott. Mm-hmm. And the kitten finds sees the moon's reflection, thinks it's a bowl of milk. And and at the end, he comes back home and there's a bowl of milk just waiting for him.
Right? Yeah.
And he tells the story, I think in his, maybe his Caldecott acceptance speech, about a little child who licked a hole in the book because of the milk, because he was kitten. And I'm like, if that's not a great children's literature story, I don't know what it is.
So great.
I'm kitten, and here it is. And his mother was like, well, we maybe need to get a new copy because you have now licked the book.
That's amazing.
So enjoy it.
Enjoy it.
Don't lose it underneath your pile of dirty Kleenexes or your fighting fried lizards.
The way we built this book, you can see that it's a soft cover. And so many wonderful books have these great hard covers, and they're beautiful and they're large. But we learned that there's a backpack issue there. So we call them backpack friendly, easy clean. They're sealed so you can wipe them down with Clorox wipes. Just to get the jelly off. Children are made of jelly. I don't know why.
Pull it from the dog's
mouth.
Yeah,
just jam it in the backpack. So,
all right,
yeah.
Sean Covell, Rebecca Swift, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate all that you're doing for the kids in South Dakota, too.
Thank you.
Through the United Way Project.
Thank you so much, Lord. It's been great.